very common chant they like to say. It goes something like J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Garrett Wilson, wow! What a catch! Touchdown, Jets! That kid's amazing.
There is no way.
Hey, it's a part of the script. Do it again.
Listen, we love you. We want it as badly as you do. We care about it as badly as you do. We're as pissed as you are. But we're asking you, I'm asking you, stick with us, to believe in us, to start manifesting positive things, not thinking about what could go wrong, oh, yeah. 2024, and just trust.
The offseason champions, once again, the Jets have signed Mike Williams, Tyron Smith, brought back Morgan Moses, John Simpson. We're getting into the whole thing here on the Jets Way podcast presented by Underdog Fantasy. Lorenzo, good thing we didn't do the podcast last week. I know, you know, last week we talked, wasn't a ton of activity until Friday night. I guess Douglas was laying low until the weekend, and then he started to strike gold with the value with Tyron Smith, and obviously today Mike Williams coming to the Jets. So how are we feeling these days, Lorenzo?
I'm feeling well, man. I'm definitely feeling better about this team than I was at this absolute start of free agency. I think a lot of Jet fans could definitely agree with that, where we were like, what is Joe Douglas doing? What are we waiting for? Obviously, we saw a lot of guys, especially on the offensive side of the ball, signed. And we're like, well, where's our wide receiver? Where's the offensive line? And, you know, Joe Douglas made things happen and some nice contracts signed as well. So definitely feeling excited.
Totally agree. And I think the biggest thing to remember as a Jet fan is Joe Douglas is not mortgaging the future of the franchise. Right. I get it. There's some void deals, void years in these deals with especially with Tyrod Taylor. Javon Kinlaw has some void years. I don't think there are any for Tyron Smith. I think, you know, when you bring in a guy like Tyron Smith, who has battled injuries throughout the years, and Mike Williams as well, to get them on 1 year prove it deals, that's Joe Douglas being smart. That's not going out on the first day of free agency and giving these guys multi-year contracts to where we're eating dead money for years to come. And we're going to get into all the signings here, but I totally agree with you in the sense of this roster is definitely night and day from a year ago. And I think my attention now goes to Robert Saleh. There's nowhere to hide anymore, that you need to get it done. And there's no more excuses because you have plenty to work with.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, listen, I still think we need some depth here, especially on the offensive line. Obviously, with our injury history, like, that should be a given. But one thing I did love was just, like, going out early and getting the backup quarterback. I know, like, you know, we've talked about it a ton and, like, well, we don't really care who it is. But, like, granted, we also said that last year in some ways, and we saw what happened. So I like the signing of Tyrod Taylor. Obviously, Tyron Smith and Mike Williams, like, those are the quote-unquote big names. But I think having Tyrod Taylor in the building is going to be huge for us.
Well, it's a great place to start because that's where I was going. The Jets, obviously, first day of free agency, they brought in Tyrod Taylor. I believe John Simpson was their first signing. Yeah. I'm not talking about Isaiah Oliver. No Oliver or Leaky Fotu. But the big ones were John Simpson and Tyrod Taylor. I agree with you about Tyrod, and I think Tyrod's the perfect backup for us in the sense of, look, if Rodgers sprains an ankle, if he gets a concussion, if he, I don't know, a finger injury that keeps him out a week, Tyrod Taylor can win you a football game. Now, can Tyrod Taylor take you to the playoffs? No, I don't think so, but that's not what we're looking for, because if, God forbid, the worst-case scenario happens, and this is the only time I'm going to talk about Tyrod Taylor, too, because we spent way too much time last offseason talking about the backup quarterback, and look what happened, so... With Tyrod Taylor, though, you know, if for some weird, I don't even want to, I can't even say it out loud after what happened, but you guys get the gist. Yeah. If something horrible were to happen, Tyrod Taylor is not taking this team to the playoffs, in my opinion, and we get a new coach in here. So it's not like he'll get Robert Saleh an extension, who we think is a bad coach. He's perfect. Rodgers is out for a short period of time. We can win some games with Tyrod Taylor to keep the season afloat. And look, he's a locker room guy. I hate saying this because it feels like everybody the Jets bring in is this great locker room guy. And if I'm sorry, but if the locker room was so great, why are we not winning? And why is there 30 anonymous sources at the end of seasons just ripping the organization? The locker room clearly wasn't too great the last couple of years, as far as I'm concerned. But Tyrod Taylor coming over here from the Giants, Connor Hughes obviously covered the Giants for SNY as well as the Jets. And he said teammates love Tyrod, and I'm good with that as the backup quarterback any day of the week.
Yeah, listen, he's a professional quarterback. He's a serviceable backup, like you mentioned. He can come in and win you a ball game. I mean, listen, even in the Giants last year, they could have won that game.
They would have beat us.
definitely could have beat us. But on the road against the Bills last year in a tough environment, I mean, they're a holding call in the end zone away from potentially winning that game. So yeah, he can go out there and win you a ball game for sure.
Yeah, he beat the Eagles last week, right? Yeah, he should have beat the Rams, too, the week before that.
Never know with him, especially honestly, even in the NFL these days, man, like a lot of quarterbacks for some reason are just getting injured for not only just like one game, but a couple weeks. So like you need someone to be a backup quarterback just to get you through a couple weeks or so. And obviously we don't want to see Tim Boyle walk through these doors. We're probably going to be getting rid of Zach Wilson. Like we just need serviceable, professional, like quarterback play moving forward.
I also think one last thing about Tyrod Taylor. If you bring in a rookie project quarterback in on day three of the draft, having a guy like Tyrod Taylor is a very good resource. I think Aaron Rodgers will be – look, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to go out of his way with some kid, and that's no slight to Aaron Rodgers. The guy's 40 years old. He tore his Achilles last year. He doesn't have time for this. But Tyrod Taylor as the backup can help bring the kid along and teach him how to be a professional, teach him the way. And that's something Zach Wilson never had. I think Tyrod would have been perfect for us when we drafted Zach Wilson. And we could have started Tyrod right away and just had a retooling year. Kind of what I think the Patriots are going to do this year with Jacoby Brissett. They'll have Brissett for a year. They'll draft Drake May or Jaden Daniels. And they're building it the right way over there. It might not happen, you know, right away. But, so, look, you could draft Joe Milton. You could draft Spencer Rattler. You could draft Michael Pratt, one of these kids that you like. And why not? You got 2 6-round picks and what, like 3 7ths, I think, or something like that. Why not?
Hey, Jordan Travis, who knows?
Maybe he falls with the medicals. But so Taylor was definitely a good move. And they brought in John Simpson of the Ravens. More of a mauler in the run game. I think he's definitely made those types of pancake plays, and it's kind of the theme that we're building on the offensive line, just real nasty dudes. And no slight against Lake and Tomlinson. I'm not trying to – the guy's gone, but he wasn't exactly a mauler and a guy that, you know, was going to inflict fear. He's not one of those nasty dudes, kind of like Willie Colon back in the day. I don't know if you remember him, but obviously he's on TV now. But Willie Colon was nasty. Like with John Simpson and Tyron Smith and bringing back Morgan Moses – if Zach Wilson gets hit to the ground against the Patriots, you know, a cheap shot by Matt Judon, I don't think John Simpson and Tyron Smith are just going to let the defender walk away without getting in his face. Like, that's the type of guy that we needed on this line. And that's why I think Simpson, you know what, as a pass protector, and Simpson's got a really good story, man. He was 1 foot out the league. You know, he was on a practice squad a year ago, and then the Ravens took a chance on him. He earned the job in training camp, and he had a pretty good year for Baltimore. And he's only 26 years old. Maybe he's a young ascending guard in this league. And playing next to a guy like Tyron Smith, that's going to elevate John Simpson's game a whole lot, especially against pass protection.
Yeah, that was the point I was going to bring up. Just having that stability, you know, we hope at left tackle with Tyron Smith being all pro and pro bowler in his past. You know, you're hoping that duo can come in and really stick together for at least this year. And you know, they can make each other better, because obviously with Mekhi Becton and Lakin Tomlinson, obviously they're out the door, but that duo was not great, especially in terms of communication on that side of the ball. So it'll definitely be good for, like, you know, picking up different things that the defense throws at us. So I'm definitely a fan of the signing. I think he's just a professional guard who can come in. He's a mauler, like you said. And it seems like we're definitely changing the way we run the ball. So I'm excited to see.
Change of philosophy up front. Very good. The signing that I just did not get behind, and I mentioned this guy on the podcast and the people I talked to, I would say, look, I think the Jets are going to sign Kinlaw. I think, you know, it makes a lot of sense. He's a young, talented player that had to battle injuries. He was a first-round pick with Robert Saleh, his last year as defensive coordinator. You know, Robert Saleh loves his guys from San Francisco, and especially with the Jets, with Quentin Jefferson, that was a free agent, Al Woods likely retiring. I thought Kinlaw made a lot of sense, but not for $7 million. Like, it was a lot of money that they pretty much fully guaranteed the guy. But if you would have told me it was like, if this was 1 year, $4 million, I don't think we would be really critiquing the signing that much. But It's tough to say now after all the other moves that they made, but that was one that kind of made me scratch my head because I just didn't think that. I mean, this guy got paid more money in his career than sacks. Like,
I'm going to be honest. I think I would have preferred bringing back Jefferson. I thought he had a really good year beside Quinnen Williams. And I thought he was really effective, especially in the, you know, the pass rush. So that's someone I really wanted to bring back. And like you said, I think I would have had more complaints about this last week before all the other signings happened. But I definitely agree with you there.
It was reported that Quentin Jefferson was open to coming back to the Jets, and he gave the Jets a chance to match Cleveland's 1 year, $3.5 million deal that he signed there. And the Jets were too late in reaching out back to him, and he signed with the Browns. Interesting. Apparently the Jets did want him back, and I don't know, but I would have preferred Jefferson back at that price, but you know what? They improved the areas of the team that we wanted them to improve, and that's all that really matters. And I mean, they signed another defensive tackle, Leahy Fotu from the Arizona Cardinals. Just looks like a younger Al Woods. Pretty bad PFF grade. Just a big body to defend the run. Who knows if he makes the roster with that type of money that he's making, but whatever.
And listen, I think we just need we especially when Al Woods went down last year, like, you saw the difference in our run defense. Like, we just needed we need a big body up front that can just fill in the space. Like, you know, we're hoping obviously Kinlaw can kind of go back to his first round grade that he got picked a couple of years ago. Like, that's what we're hoping Sal on the defense can do. But yeah, we just needed bigger bodies up front, especially with how our run defense was last year.
I think that on day three of the draft, I think you can see the Jets taking a defensive tackle, look to get a guy in house. They also brought back Solomon Thomas, serviceable backup. I guess he's here to coordinate the Broadway shows in the summertime. Whatever.
He had his moments. He had his moments last year. He wasn't, I don't think he was terrible, to be honest.
It is what it is. It's Solomon Thomas. But look, then we get into the big move. Tyron Smith Friday night. I thought it was a fake report. I'm like, hang on. Our media was telling me, and this is no, I'm not trying to look, they were buttoned up. I'm sure the media tried digging on this. Like, this is not like any type of dig towards our media, but still. Nobody talked about this, right? Like, everybody said it wasn't going to happen. Everybody told me, oh, Tyron Smith's not going to want to come and play for the Jets. And not only does he want to come play for the Jets, he took a deal that was a team-friendly deal that is incentive-based to earn big money. It can get up to $20 million. How can you hate this move if you're a Jet fan? I'm trying to just, I don't know.
Yeah, it's literally the perfect move because I think he's what guaranteed, what, like $6.5
million? Yes.
That's the number. And like, listen, we talked about his resume earlier. Like, he's been on a Pro Bowl. He's been on All Pro. He's only 33 years old. Like, it's not like he's, you know, 40 years old. He could have some juice left. Obviously the injury history is there, but I will take Tyron Smith for 13, potentially 14 games in the season. If that's what it comes down to, obviously if things are perfect, yeah, we'll take him for all 17, but I will gladly take that for $6.5 million guaranteed.
It, like our good buddy Cotter Lives, he said last week on the podcast or the week before, the last one that we did, and programming alert, he will be joining us the show before the NFL draft to go over the draft guide. There will certainly be some new conversation to be had in light of recent events about some prospects, but I digress about Tyron Smith. Yes, give me the guy that's playing at an elite level for 14 games than Mekhi Becton, who played 16 games last year and playing like Mekhi Becton. So give me Tyron Smith. With Tyron Smith also, dude, I don't know if you knew this, but last year, over 850 pass blocking attempts, 20 pressures allowed. Tyron Smith is the best pass blocker in the NFL when he's healthy. And look, he's not, this is, and Jet fans too, and this is going to go hand in hand with my next point of conversation here. This is not Dwayne Brown. Like, Tyron Smith is not rehabbing shoulder surgery at near 40 years old. 33 is not 38 like Dwayne Brown was last year. And when Dwayne Brown was on the field, he was playing at a replacement level. Tyron Smith plays at an elite level. Like, there is no comparison to the two. I don't understand what this is all about. Is there some underlying injury that I don't know about with Tyron Smith? Because I don't think he's having surgery. I think he ended the year. He was a beast on the field that last playoff game against the Packers. So he's coming in here healthy. It's not like he's coming in here hurt. So even more, I love it. So What I'll say here is 10th pick in the draft. The offensive line is set. The Jets got back Morgan Moses, who, real quick, we love Morgan Moses, should have never left.
I definitely agree there.
The Iron Man.
It was definitely a fan of that trade.
The Iron Man, I knew he had some type of shoulder injury last year with the Ravens. I guess that's something to monitor. But guess what? I'm sure Morgan Moses, the second he's available, he'll be playing right tackle. But look, so you have Moses and you have Tyron Smith as your bookend tackles. You have Carter Warren here, who the coaching staff swears by. They all say he's developing nicely. And you have a free agent class still of, you have David Bakhtiari, who could still be in play if, you know, I'm just saying, if he really wants to hang out Aaron, and I'm sure he can get in there at some point. You have Donovan Smith, who wanted to play for the Jets. I'm sure he would be an option at swing tackle. You can kind of give Donovan Smith the money. Look, you could have signed Donovan Smith last year for the money you paid Billy Turner. They made the same amount. So, and he's better than Billy Turner. I'll tell you that much. So there are options for the Jets. And for Jet fans out there, the Jets can draft tackles beyond the first round. You're allowed to do that in the NFL. You can find quality linemen beyond the first round. So why is it that at 10, we are still saying we need to take a tackle? Because for me, it's Brock Bowers.
For me, after the Mike Williams signing today, I think Brock Bowers is definitely in play. But I also see an area, or I guess avenue, where like Joe Douglas might want to trade back.
That would be idiotic.
You don't think a second round pick would be? Because, like, in my opinion, if you could trade back to four, let's just, I don't know. Again, I don't know who's four. You know, if you could trade back to, like, let's just say 13 or 14 and, like, still get a receiver or still, I don't even, Brock Bowers might be there at 14. I don't know. But if you can get to 14 and also get a second round pick,
you're not going to get a second round pick. You would have to trade into the 20s for a second round pick. The value chart with 14 and 10. That does not equal a second round pick. You'll maybe get a third round pick. So like, look at last year, because we were picking 15. The Steelers were picking, I believe, 18 or 19 in the teens. And yeah, they only traded a fourth round pick to jump us for Broderick Jones. That was part of the Patriots being spiteful, but it wasn't that far off in value. Yeah. I don't know, man. Look, if you're telling me an elite talent like Brock Bowers is on the board, that to me outmeasures a second round pick by a wide margin. And who are you going to pick in the second round? A tackle? Or are you going to take a tackle in the first round, take a receiver in the second round? We don't really have much of a need for a wide receiver right now. We have, we have Garrett Wilson. We just signed Mike Williams. You have Xavier Gibson, who showed something last year, right? I mean, he'll be on the team. He's whatever. And you're still paying Alan Lazard. And as much as we hate Alan Lazard, I find it very hard to believe that the Jets are paying him all that money to just kick a soccer ball. Like, I'm sure he'll get the play at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that is true about Lazard. We saw last year in his performance, and it was not great. I guess you're hoping that Aaron Rodgers can come in and he can be better, but
yeah,
to me, like, he's wide receiver 4 in my, like, he should be, that's his spot. It's wide receiver. I don't want to see him wide receiver 2. You know, we saw him in some ways wide receiver 3, where it was a holding call or he's missing a block. He was dropping a lot of passes last year. So he was more times a negative than a positive on the field. So that's where my thing was. But I do agree, bro. Like me, I'm taking Brock Bowers. I think he can win in the middle of the field. And especially like coming to the playoff games, if we're getting there, or like just the tight ball games, like you gotta win in the middle of the field. You gotta have someone who can do that to the defense. So me, I wanna draft Bowers, but I don't know. Just thinking what other avenues there are.
Look, this guy Bowers, man, we had Connor on the show last week. This guy is a Swiss Army knife. You could play him as an inline blocking tight end. You could play him in the slot. You could play him out wide. You could play him in the backfield. His game, to me, is Aaron Hernandez 2.0. And I get it, it's Aaron Hernandez, but I'm saying the football player, Aaron Hernandez. Nice, yeah. Dude, this guy is like a freaking lightning bolt, all right? And he's gigantic. Bro, he's a tight end. He's a receiver playing tight end. And this is not Kyle Pitts. This Brock Bowers is much better than Kyle Pitts was. And it, to me, if you bring that guy on board here, he's the type of guy where, you know what, Aaron Rodgers doesn't like what he sees. He throws a check down to Brock Bowers. Boom, we got ourselves an easy first down. Brock Bowers led the country in yak yards the last 3 years. This guy is a monster with the football in his hands. If you add that guy on this offense and you get that quick element going in your game, and you have Garrett Wilson on one side, you have Mike Williams on one side, there's nowhere to roll the coverage. And that helps our offensive line in not just one way, but two. One, they're going to keep the quarterback upright more because they're not blocking for as long, and they're not going to get hurt because they're not blocking for as long. I mean, it wasn't a coincidence that why is it that we had all these injuries on the offensive line last year? I don't know. Maybe because our quarterback just held on to the ball for a year back there because he had no idea what was going on and he couldn't see the field. So, look, Bowers would instantly make this team. And look, I get what people are saying of the tackles and these guys are on one-year deals. I'm sorry, I'm not thinking beyond this year. These chances do not come all that often, especially for this franchise. And if you get Bowers in here, you cannot tell me that a guy that you do not want to play on opening day, right? You don't want to play him. In a perfect world, you do not play this guy. You can't tell me that taking Brock Bowers does not get us closer to winning a championship than a guy that's going to be a reserve tackle. And especially rookie tackles, they're no guarantee, bro. Look at the last few years. Last year, nobody graded above a 65 PFF grade. And like a 60 is average on PFF, right? Peter Skoronski was, I think he was the third tackle taken in last year's draft. The guy had to play guard because he couldn't make it as a tackle. Maybe he goes back to tackle this year, but they had to move him into guard because he was struggling. Darnell Wright, I believe he was like a 57 PFF grade. The number one tackle taken, Paris Johnson Jr., he was a 62. Broderick Jones, who we all wished for, he didn't start on opening day. His PFF grade was under a 62. So, and then even the year before that, Ike Ekwonu, he struggled his rookie year. Andrew Thomas, the year before that, he struggled his rookie year. It's no guarantee that these guys are any good, man. And I'm sorry, last year we tried the whole developmental, you know, luxury pick with Will McDonald. You can't do that again for a second year. We are all in trying to win. And you cannot tell me that Brock Bowers does not make this team better right away.
Bro, I fully agree. I was actually going to say that point too. I was like, it's going to be tough to sell just Jet fans in general on two straight first round picks that are technically for the future.
Yeah.
That's going to be when you just signed Aaron Rodgers and it's like, we're technically in win now mode. Like that's going to be a tough sell. I don't know, bro. I want Bowers. You know, I don't know if you saw Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft where we're trading up to number 5 to draft Mr. Marvin Harrison Jr. But well, I will say this about Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't want to hear nothing about that. And I'm going to tell you why.
You would trade next year's first round pick if you did that.
We could have just lost one or two more freaking games.
One more. We'd be picking 6. We would have been picking 6 if we lost one more game. We could have traded up one damn slot.
I don't want to hear nothing about a trade up or, oh, well, we could get this guy. No. We had our chance to solidify that top 5, whatever, top 6 pick, and we decided winning is better for the future. And you know what? That's the avenue they decided, but I don't want to hear about that because that's not happening.
So for me, the only players that I would not draft over Brock Bowers in the first round would be, number one, I wouldn't take Bowers over Alt because I think Alt is a sure thing. I think he's tackle one. That, fine. I hear you. I think he's pretty close to a sure thing as it gets at the tackle position. But him and Malik Nabers, if he happened to fall, because I'm taking Nabers at 10. good
he's
God.
Not making it.
he's not making it to 10, but... Roma Dunze, look, I wouldn't be upset if they took Odunze, but I want Bowers, man, because we have just more flexibility with ways to use him. I'm telling you, I think it has legs too. I really do, man, because they got one out there and they got Mike Williams. They got Ty. You cannot tell me we're signing Tyron Smith and Mike Williams to 1 year deals and you're trying to tell me we're thinking about the future.
Yeah.
You're not. And you can still sign tackles, you can sign a swing tackle. They're out there. If you're concerned, another thing is that everyone's talking about this Fatanu guy who Connor loved last week, but still, With Fatanu, oh, he can play tackle or guard just in case AVT's not ready to start the year. There are guards available. They're Dalton Reisner's out there. Go get him. You should have signed him last summer. Like, there are other like, the season doesn't start next week where there's no one available. So, yeah, Bowers at 10. Like, I'm going to say it refusely. I hope it happens. Probably not, because they never draft who I want.
Bro, I want Bowers too, for the exact same reasons. I'm just like, I guess just the Jet fan in me is like, well, it's just not gonna happen.
It's somehow, too good to be true.
Yeah, it's too good to be true. Like, obviously not the same, but like, we were talking about JSN last year, where it's like, well, we need a wide receiver, like the perfect opportunity, and nope, Will McDonald. So like, I don't know.
Do you think that they would be tone deaf enough to draft another edge rusher in the first round?
You know what? It wouldn't
I am so done. Now they better. Now here's my thing, because Clowney's coming in here for a visit tomorrow. Sign him. He was productive last year. He's a guy where you can play him against the run, right? He was productive. He's not just the situational pass rusher. Sign him. Don't let him leave.
You see, I want to say like the Jets wouldn't take another edge, but then I'm like, well, I kind of was thinking that last year and look what happened. But you never know with Joe Douglas, man. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, they considered Michael Mayer too last year.
Well, hey.
Maybe. But look, moving on here, I'm sure we're going to talk a lot about the draft moving forward. But Mike Williams signed with the Jets today. The Jets did the right thing. They didn't let him leave the building. I think he's a perfect complement to Garrett Wilson. Finally, a contested catch guy. He'll not only help in, you know, between the 20s, but in the vertical game, in the red zone, when Garrett Wilson is getting shadowed, right? They roll the coverage over to Garrett. Mike Williams will be on the outside one-on-one. That's a matchup you want to exploit if you're Aaron Rodgers.
Listen, Mike Williams might not be the fastest dude. You could say whatever you want about him. You know, obviously, he got injured last year. And that's something to pay attention to, but he can go up and get that thing. And that's what we kind of wanted to see from Lazard last year in the red zone. We're like, hey, finally we have a big body receiver that, you know, we could exploit mismatches in the red zone. Well, obviously that didn't happen, but Mike Williams can go and catch the ball, and I'm excited to see him next to Garrett Wilson for sure.
Lazard. Oh my God. Or Corey Davis when we signed him. Yeah. By the way, he's ready to play again. I am not interested. No thanks.
He's not coming back
either. I think if he wanted to come back, that was something they do right away. I don't think he's coming back, especially with Mike Williams coming to the team now. But can you just imagine, man? Just like, close your eyes and envision it. We got Wilson on the outside, right? Third down, need to move the chains, right? Stadium's going crazy. Wilson on the outside. Lazard, Mike Williams on the other side, in the slot, Brock Bowers, Tyler Conklin, your inline tight end, Breece Hall running routes out of the backfield. Who's stopping that?
That's fair. And like, bro, even like, obviously going back to Bowers, but like, it just makes everyone else better. Like, imagine Tyler Conklin as a tight end too. Like, I think Tyler Conklin is a really solid tight end, especially in the receiving game. Like, that's a mismatch. Who's really going to guard him? You know what I mean? So obviously we're playing Madden here, but like, you know,
but they have the offensive line. They have a good enough line. It's not like we have a gaping hole at left tackle or right tackle. Like Tyron Smith, he's healthy right now. Like you like, why would you bring him in if you think he's going to get hurt? Like, I don't know. But yeah, Mike Williams, big time addition. I was pumped when I saw that. They finally didn't let a guy leave. I feel like that's the first time we've ever had a guy in here that we didn't let him leave.
And you know what, man? Like, I'll gladly take Mike Williams for 1 year, $15 million, and just see what happens. Because, for example, like, Jerry Jeudy got a huge contract today, and I'm like, wow.
Wow.
3 year commitment to Jerry Jeudy. And obviously we loved him coming out of the draft, but he really hasn't shown much, in my opinion, to get that. But we shall see. But that's just how I feel, bro.
And it's up to $15 million. It's not like a $15 million base salary. So this could be something where, you know, if he hits those incentives, we're having a good year. So, and he wants to cash in again next offseason, I'm sure. So 1 year prove it deal for Mike Williams, sign me up any day of the week.
Yeah, that's how I feel, bro. And yeah, man, I'm just excited. I'm excited for the draft. Like, I think early parts of free agency, I was like, damn, the Jets, they got me again. Like,
you're thinking about Rodgers running for vice president. It's like, here we go again.
Rodgers running for vice president. Like, I'm just like, man, whatever. Like, I guess it's going to be one of those seasons, but you know, we're going back to winning the offseason, you know?
Like, people were saying some wild stuff. They're like, when I think it was Zach Rosenblatt said, or Diana Rossini at The Athletic said that the Jets were shopping Alan Lazard around. People were like, oh, Rodgers is retiring. They're getting rid of Lazard. I'm like, do people really think Aaron Rodgers really gives that much of a, you know, I get it, he's friendly with Lazard, but you think Aaron Rodgers is going to go, I'm not playing because Alan Lazard isn't here. Like, but really, like, do you think Alan Lazard is really the reason why he's doing this thing? I mean, people are crazy.
It's wild, bro. But I figured they wouldn't be able to let Lazard go. Like, you would have to attach a high draft pick to get that money off the books. And knowing Joe Douglas, that ain't happening. So, well,
they're gonna have to do that for Zach, I think. Not a high draft pick, but it might have to be like Zach in a sixth for a conditional seventh. Because because if they cut him, they have to eat $11 million. Whereas if they trade him, they save $5 million. And with the way Joe Douglas is doing business right now, the Jets came into today with $9 million of cap space before the Mike Williams deal. They're going to have to do some real salary maneuvering because they already extended CJ Mosley for another year. They ripped up the contract. They gave him pretty much a two-year deal right now, which I'm fine with. Why not? CJ, good leader. Didn't really show that many signs of slowing down. I'm good with it. We have a two-year window. We want Mosley here for the ride. With Quinnen Williams, I'm sure they'll have to rework that deal, maybe extend DJ Reed. Quincy Williams, you can do something with that deal. Lazard, I don't think they're touching that deal because I think they are just counting down the days until that one is over. But yeah, they would love to trade Zach Wilson right now. I think that's the next order of business for Joe Douglas, is maneuvering this cap around so we can sign some depth pieces and you know, really supplement this roster with guys that could step up in case their number's called.
Listen, it's going to be tough to trade Zach, I'm going to be honest, but for some reason, Joe Douglas, he's done pretty solid with his trades throughout his Jets tenure. So we shall see. I don't know how many suitors there are going to be. It sounds like it's going to be less than five.
Like, less than five. Might be less than two or one.
Like, maybe the Rams. I don't think so. Maybe the 49ers. We'll see, but it could be one of those teams that sound, I can't think of any other team that's going to trade for him. But like you said, we'll probably have to end up attaching a draft pick to get that money off.
Yeah, I definitely like the maneuvering they've done. And I think just Joe Douglas now, I think we're kind of done with the big name signings. I think now we start looking for some pieces to back up our starters on the offensive line. Maybe looking for a sneaky good vet receiver, maybe like a Valdez Scantling. I wouldn't hate Scantling as now that we signed Mike Williams. I wouldn't hate that. You know, maybe another corner to step up when his number's called upon. Maybe another linebacker, just backup level players, I think, until we get to the draft, which, can't wait, man. Can't wait. This offseason can go from a B to an A+ real quick. Or a B to a C real quick.
Yeah, it's really depending on the draft. Like you said, we're going to see, man. I'm excited because we have a lot of flexibility. It's not like we're tied into, you know, having to draft a specific position, but that makes it the more fun, man.
Brock Bowers at 10. We will keep beating the drum.
Put on some t-shirts. Bowers at 10.
Man, he has a private workout on April 10th. Ironically enough, the 10th of the month, he's working out.
Let's go.
He's going to be doing the 40. He's going to be doing all the combine drills. He was hurt at his pro day, but he's having a workout, which I am sure the Jets will be attending. And good God, man. But yeah, well, that'll do it for tonight's episode of the Jets Way podcast. Please leave us that 5-star review, follow, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We got a very good itinerary of guests for this month, right? We have the draft right around the corner. We'll be talking with Connor Livesey at the end of the month. I'm sure Alianazone will be back joining us real soon to talk about the free agency signings leading up to the draft. And we're hitting the ground running here. And we're back. They as soon as we're out, they pull us right back in, right? As always, go Jets.